Suppose you want to go from your house to Los Angeles. Can you directly get on the freeway? No, we can't. We have to get out in the car, get on the driveway, go through the surface streets, go through some traffic lights, and finally you get to 99 and 5, and assuming there is no traffic, it's late at night. On a weekend, you can drive straight to Los Angeles. Now, how fast you get to the freeway depends how far you are. Say you are living on Wible, you come straight on Ming, instantly you're on the freeway. Maybe it takes you 2 minutes, but say you're living in Seven Oaks, and from there, it takes several minutes. You have to get out of the Seven Oaks, get on the Ming. Similarly, on the spiritual path, very few people, as I said, depending on your distance. So the path of knowledge is the freeway that smoothly takes us to the highest realization. But the path of action is like that, where you're going through traffic lights, going through the side streets. And depending on your distance from the freeway, that much time it will take you. So also for us, we have to go on the path of action, the path of service, and depending on how pure my mind is, that fast I can go on the path of knowledge. So as we said last time, somebody like Raman Maharishi did not need a guru, did not need to study. He was already evolved. Shankaracharya Ji was. But then there are other people who had to go to a guru, study the scriptures, and evolve to this highest. So Arjuna thought that there are two separate paths. One is the path of action, other is the path of knowledge, and the path of knowledge is superior. And as we studied last week, he felt that I should directly go to the path of knowledge because that is better, and that is what is the goal of everybody. But Krishna tells him that you are not ready, so you need to go through the path of knowledge, through the path of action, to reach the path of knowledge, which will ultimately take you to wisdom. And it is a sequential path. It does not mean that I have to wait till I have done sufficient karma yoga. As I am doing karma yoga, my mind becomes purified. I can start studying, and the more I study, the more my mind becomes pure. So these paths, even though they are sequential, they support each other. That is what we had studied last week. Today, Bhagwan introduces a new term called Naishkarmya Siddhi. That means perfection achieved by actionlessness. So we say, how can actionlessness, not doing anything, reach to perfection? Naishkarmya Siddhi. So that is what we will study today. Verse number 4. Chapter 3, verse number 4. नकर्मणामनारम्भात् नैष्कर्म्यं पुरुषोऽश्नुते न च सन्न्यसनादेव सिद्धिं समधिगच्छति. So, as we said, Arjuna had heard in the scriptures, he had studied with some teachers before, he was not totally ignorant, and he had heard this word called Naishkarmya Siddhi, or perfection achieved by actionlessness. And so that is what he asked Bhagwan, that is what I want. So Bhagwan answers, Na karma naam. Karma naam is the sixth case of the karmas. Anarambhat. Anarambhat means not beginning, not doing actions. Naishkarmyam purush ashnute. Purusha means the human being, whether male or female. When he says purusha, he does not mean only males, but human. Ashnute. Ashnute means reaches or enjoys. Naishkarmya siddhi. So he says, just by not doing actions, you cannot reach Naishkarmya siddhi. And And nacha sannyasanat. Sannyasanat means with sannyas eva, and even also with sannyas, just by giving up, siddhim. Siddhim means perfection, samadhi gacchati, attains. So what he is saying is, just by giving up actions, you do not reach actionlessness, the highest state. And just by sannyas, you automatically don't reach perfection. So this verse, we'll spend about 15-20 minutes talking about it. So Gurudev in his commentary says that how do actions arise? How do majority of us, how do they arise? So it is ignorance, desires, thoughts and actions. So ignorance is these vasanas. So in my mind, I am ignorant of my true nature as Om, as consciousness, as that, the divinity in me, I am ignorant of that. So that is called vasanas. That creates this imperfection that I am somehow incomplete. And by completing this action or getting this object or getting this person or getting this position or power, I will become complete. But the Gita tells us that we all are, that's what Bhagavan says in the second chapter, you all are that infinite Atma and you are occupying this body. So never forget that all of us are divine, all of us have God in us. And so there is nothing I cannot achieve. And people say, where is God? Have you seen God? Just look within. And you will find God's presence. The fact that I'm speaking, the fact that you are all listening is because of God. So, but not knowing that, we develop these vasanas, this ignorance. And ignorance, then what does it do? It creates desires in the intellect that I am somehow incomplete, and by getting that, I will become complete. So this desire then creates thoughts in the mind, creates disturbance, agitations in the mind. And then that leads to actions. So that is what Gurudev says. Ignorance leads to desires in the intellect, thoughts in the mind and actions in the body level to acquire, possess, get whatever I think will make me incomplete. And then as we have talked before, anything you get in the world, anything is temporary. Name and fame is temporary, house is temporary, husband is temporary, wife, job, everything, house, anything you get is temporary. So one has to always remember that today I have it and tomorrow I may not. And one has to be ready for that. So if it happens, okay, that was the nature of that. So why, what is the need to cry? That's what Krishna says in the second chapter. That why are you crying? Everybody is destined to die. So will you, and so will all the kings here. So that is the ignorance. And Bhagwan says that actionlessness and desirelessness are both the same. So we say, well, you know, desirelessness and actionlessness. And that is the highest goal of man, to reach actionlessness and desirelessness. So people always think that if I don't have desires, then how will I achieve anything? How will I go anywhere? Even to get up and come to this Gita class, you know, we had this desire to study Gita. So what do they mean by desirelessness? What do they mean by actionlessness? And that was Arjuna's confusion, that he thought that this action of war is a horrible thing. So if I escape from that, I run away to the forest and then go to somewhere in the Himalayas and sit somewhere, orange clothes, and meditate, and then maybe walk around begging for food. For food, I will be happy because I don't have to go through all this. So this ignorance comes depending on our identification. What do we identify with? Say I identify with this body, which most of us do. I am this body. So this body is me. So the moment you identify with this body, then the body sooner or later will give you pain. Sooner or later will get old. Sooner or later it will deteriorate. And so, plus it will be one day happy, one day sick, one day healthy, one day hot, one day cold. So you will suffer with the body's modifications, because body is meant to modify. He said, oh no, I am the mind. You know, I am very emotional person. I am very loving. I am very compassionate. And so when the mind again is one day happy, one day unhappy, so I'll be fluctuating, happy, unhappy, happy, unhappy. Or if I say I identify with this intellect, you know, I am so smart, I know so much, sooner or later somebody will come who knows more than you. And then the knowledge is moving so fast that sooner or later you won't be, like I have given up trying to keep up with computers and new things happening. You just can't, there's not enough time. But if you think that I am smart, then sooner or later you will also suffer. So they say identify with that consciousness which is unchanging, which is eternal, which is of the nature of bliss, which is Sat Chit Anand, always exists, is all knowing, all blissful. And if I am that, then no matter what happens to the body, what happens to the mind, what happens to the intellect, I remain happy, I am fine. And once you do that, then you realize that there is really nothing to be done in the world that will make me complete. People think that will make me passive, you know, then I won't do anything if I don't have desires. And what is the problem with having desires? When I do actions prompted by desires, I have so many desires, and I do this action and then I get some temporary joy. I get some little joy, but it's not enough joy. Next time I must do better to get more joy. So next time I do better, I get more joy. So when I get joy, then the intellect says, okay, let's do it again. Mind is happy, mind wants it again, intellect. So we do it again, and then we do it more. And then after some time, the joy becomes less, because the same thing, after a while, I want to do more and more. And what that does is, the more I do, the more I want joy, the more I want joy, the more I do actions, whether it's money, whether it's food, whether it's jewelry, clothes, whatever it is, there is never enough. And so the more I do, it strengthens my vasanas, my impressions. And then with that strengthening of vasanas, then I again go through, then there again more desires, more thoughts, more actions, more vasanas. So we are caught in this vicious cycle. So how do you get out of this cycle? Karma Yoga, which Bhagavan is going to tell us in the entire chapter. When you do actions that are unselfish, that are not prompted by selfish desire, you immediately break the cycle. See, because vasanas, actions, thoughts, desires, action, vasana, desires, actions, thoughts, vasana. But you remove desire, then what happens? You break the cycle. Then you are not creating any more vasanas. And whatever vasanas, that's what Gurudev says, existing vasanas get destroyed and no new vasanas are created. That is his very famous line. He'll say it in many places. Doing things without selfish desire immediately cuts this cycle. So that's why in life one has to do things which are unselfish, do things for others, do things dedicated to the Lord without I and my. And once that happens, automatically your actions will reduce. Then I don't, you know, things that are not important, I won't chase after. Like a man of wisdom, his out of wisdom, out of vairagya, out of right knowledge, he says, I don't need it. I don't need to go to this party. I don't need to buy more this. I don't need to possess more. I'm happy. Why? Because he or she is happy within. And why do we need to cut desires? Because even one unfulfilled desire creates so much turbulence in the mind. So it says reduce your actions and develop this detachment, develop vairagya, develop through wisdom, through right understanding, where I do things that are needed, but I reduce my wants, reduce my desires, and I'm content. And then my goal becomes less outer progress, more inner progress. I want to progress within. I have done enough. After a while, you say, bahut kar liya. I have done enough in the world, now let me do something for my own inner growth. And for that, the grace of God is very much required. The fact that we are all here, we must have the grace of God with us. So I remember a small story. So there was this man who dies and comes to the gate of heaven, and Saint Peter is standing there, and Saint Peter says, you know, if you want to enter heaven, you need 100 points. So he says, okay. So Saint Peter says, tell me what you did. And if you have 100 points, only you can enter heaven. So the man says, well, what good things did you do? Peter said. He says, you know, I married this one girl who was the love of my life, and I was devoted to her for 50 years. I took care of her and I took care of my family. Okay, that's 1 point. Only 1 point? I need 100? Yes, you need 100. All this for only 1 point. Okay, what else did you do? He says, well, I went to church every Sunday and I donated, you know, they call it teeth. I donated very generously to the church. I was on the board. I took care of all the spiritual needs of 2 points. Only two? Yeah, only two. Okay, then I opened a soup kitchen, and every day I used to feed the homeless, and hundreds of homeless would come. And I donated all the money and I fed thousands of people. 2 points. Only 5 points? How will I reach 100? I will need the grace of God to reach 100. Peter says, exactly. Come on in. See, that's what we have to realize, that our effort, but then grace of God does not mean that these are selective packets of grace. You do the good deeds and make yourself available and say, God, I am nothing. You are doing everything. Make yourself like a child whose child says, I cannot do anything. The mother has to lift him, feed him, change him, bathe him and all. So similarly, Lord, you are my mother. You are my father. You are the one taking care of me. So when that kind of humility comes, that kind of wisdom comes, then the Lord is the one who takes care of our life. But people think that sannyas is going to take me to the highest. And people think, you know, putting on orange clothes and shaving the hair and growing a long beard, or, you know, pulling out the hair in Bhagwan. Shankaracharya ji in Bhaj Govindam says, you may pull out your hair, you may do this or that, but unless your mind is pure, you will not get that. I was reading another commentary. It says you could go to the Himalayas, sit in the most far off icy cave and put a sign, do not enter, and stay there for 12 years, just barely subsiding on fruits and vegetables if you get otherwise. Even then, you will not get this siddhi. Because if your mind is not pure, you will still be brooding on objects. I am sitting in the Himalayas, but my friends, you know, they must be having so much fun. And today is, my birthday. If I had been in the city, people would have been celebrating. Here I am all by myself. So if you are, the sannyas does not come out of vairagya, does not come out of detachment and maturity, then such a sannyas is not enough, it's not productive. So through true wisdom, we realize that actions prompted by desire lead to more bondage. Actions prompted by wisdom, and for such a person, his or her goal of life becomes, it does not mean the person stops working. In fact, that person becomes a more efficient servant of the Lord. He does more karma yoga with his body, with his mind. He loves God and loves everybody else. And with the intellect, he's constantly getting knowledge, learning. So the person actually becomes a more efficient instrument of the Lord, because there is no I or my. So that's what Bhagwan says, that nashkarmya siddhi is actionlessness and desirelessness only comes through right understanding. And sannyas is only helpful if it is accompanied by vairagya or detachment. As long as your mind is still brooding on objects, it is better to go out into the world, work, and then exhaust your vasanas through unselfish work, and then your mind is ready. And that's how Arjuna was. Arjuna was not ready yet for sannyas. He had so many desires, he had so much anger towards the Kauravas, and all these 12 years in the forest and 1 year in where he had to live like a woman. So all those things were still on his mind, and Bhagavan could see that such a person, even if he goes to the Himalayas, he will not achieve anything, he will not get anything, he will be miserable. So that's why he is encouraging him to do his duty, do it unselfishly, without I and my. But Arjuna, of course, this is just the beginning, it's just the beginning of the third chapter of the teaching. He still has the one-track mind. No, I'm not going to fight, I'm going to go to the forest. So in the next few verses, we'll see how, like a surgeon who very cleanly removes all the cancerous part and then just leaves the healthy part there, Bhagavan is slowly removing Arjuna's ignorance and making him wise. So that is the essence of this verse. We have a couple of minutes, and I do have some announcements. So maybe I'll make the announcements first, and then if we have time, we can leave it for questions, or you can ask questions, you know, over lunch or maybe next week. Keep your questions. So one announcement is that we are planning to start this Bhagavad Gita class on Wednesday from 7:30 to 8:30 every evening. Every Wednesday evening, 7:30 to 8:30, we'll have this same class here. And if there is a decent response, if people are coming, then we'll continue it. Because in the summer, there is no Bal Vihar, so there won't be any class on Sunday. But we do have a study group on Wednesday, but that also is a lot of people are out of town. So instead of the study group, we'll have the same Bhagavad Gita class. We'll continue third chapter, 7:30 to 8:30. And if you miss some class or if you're traveling, you can go to firstpower.info. You can write down the website, firstpower is one word, .info. And the Tony, who's always here, he uploads the talks, so you can listen to them. That way you won't miss. Hopefully we'll finish the third chapter through the summer. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, Hari Om.